1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 4. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 footmen. David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but reserved of them enough for 100 chariots. Well, David says in Psalm 119 that he so loved God's law, and he studied it into the night. He loved every word that came from God in the Torah. It's quite clearly stated there, Deuteronomy 17, that the king of Israel was not to have horses from Egypt. Not at all to trust in horses. It was an apparently curious command, but of course you've got to understand that horses and chariots were understood in those days as the invincible military technology. You had horses and chariots, you were good. You were invincible. And they were told that they must not have these, of course, so that they trusted in God's cherubic, angelic chariots and horses of fire. Well, David has all these chariot horses, which of course he'd won without having horses and chariots himself. So he should have realized these things can't save you. What does he do? He hamstrings the chariot horses. I think the idea was that he thought, well, if I cut into their legs, it's pretty cruel to do that to a horse, but they won't be able to gallop, they won't be able to be chariot horses, but they will be able to be used for agricultural things like ploughing. That's what they used to do, to hamstring horses so that they wouldn't run away, but they could just trudge around ploughing. Well, what should he have done? There's a lot of times in the Bible where the biblical narrative begs questions. What could he have done? Or what should he have done? What might he have done? Well, I think let them run free, get rid of them, possibly destroy them. But no, he wants to sail close to the wind. Okay, I won't have them as chariot horses, but I will still keep them and use them in some way. It's a bit like Samson, who was a Nazirite, wasn't supposed to eat anything that grew from the vine, let alone drink any alcohol or fruit of the vine. He goes for a walk in the vineyards of Timnath. Well, and he goes for a walk on his own. You think, why sail close to the wind? And then he arranges, and the Hebrew definitely means this, as in the NEV translation, he arranges a drinking party for the family and guests at the wedding with his first wife. He's sailing close to the wind. It's like the former alcoholic wandering around the alcohol section in a large supermarket with the excuse that, oh, I just would like to know how much vodka costs these days, how much the prices have gone up since I used to drink. No, just keep away. Don't give yourself the opportunity for even subliminal temptation to arise. And that's what David should have done with these chariot horses. Get rid of them, not hamstring them, and use them for something else. But he reserved of them for 100 chariots. Well, how many horses pulled a chariot? Possibly more than one. So he reserved 100, 200, possibly 300 of these horses. When, as I say, he had been told that he was not to have these. Now, he captured, let's say, 1,000 chariots and horses, and he hamstrings, let's say, 900 of them, all the chariot horses apart from 100, and he retains 100 of them, possibly more. Let's stick just with 100. He considers, therefore, that 90% sort of obedience and 10% disobedience was good enough for God. No. The problem is with that attitude, this sort of brinkmanship with sin, that, okay, you know, well, yeah, I was 10% disobedient. You got to cut a guy some slack. Let a guy get drunk once a week. Let a guy let his hair down every now and again on a Friday night. I mean, you know, blah, blah. Problem is with that attitude. For one thing, it does not exactly reflect a love of God. And secondly, unfortunately, that 10% disobedience is going to grow. The guy who thinks he can let his hair down once a month ends up doing it every week, and it goes beyond that. The other thing is that our behavior affects other people. Now, David has had this weakness, right? He takes these horses when he should have destroyed them or let them run away. And what did Solomon his son do? He had 40,000 stalls for chariot horses. He became obsessed. He became addicted, if you like, to chariot horses. It's like the father who gets drunk on a Friday night all through the childhood of his children. Yeah, and his son becomes a hardcore alcoholic. He's drunk every day. You know, these are primitive examples, but you know what I'm trying to say. You see it likewise, I think, with David's attitude to women. If you look at the genealogies in 1 Chronicles 3, he has 6 sons in 7 years by 6 different women, including Gentiles, right at the start of his reign. So, 6 sons in 7 years by 6 different women. Solomon, well, man, he goes crazy. He has 700 wives and 300 concubines. And we're told also in 1 Chronicles 3 that that's what David had by his wives, and he also had concubines. Well, you see what I'm saying? That the weakness of the father was magnified multiple times in his son. We may consider that we are small fry, that we have little influence on anybody, but we do. You have far more power in your influence than you will ever realize. And you can influence for good and for bad. And unfortunately, it's easier to influence for bad than it is for good. And that is, I think, what David did to Solomon with his attitude to horses and women. You cannot just think, oh, I will cut myself some slack. Poor me. This sort of self-pity that leads to cutting yourself moral slack. This is not at all the attitude of someone who quite simply loves God.